This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
What is your favorite or the best play on words using your last name that you've heard?
That ball got Schmidt on.
Oh! On 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Willard and Dibs. No Willard. It's Dibs and Grandy with you. We got you for a little more than one more hour until 6 o'clock today here on 95.7 The Game. Talking a lot about Major League Baseball and the All-Star Game and what a success it was yesterday. And one of the things, Dibs, that we've been talking about today has been extra innings and the swing-off and all of that. And then we started talking about overtime rules in other sports. One that we did not bring up that, frankly, I am really sad that the rules got changed is college football. College football's overtime is always so exciting. And if you're unfamiliar, generally teams start with the ball at the opponent's 25-yard line. So a 25-yard field to go and get a touchdown, and you just have dueling possessions. And if after each team has a possession, the score is different, then you do it again all over from the same 25-yard line back and forth. But what they changed recently was after two overtimes where it's still tied, once you get to the third overtime period, it then is only dueling two-point conversion attempts instead of all the way from the 25-yard line. And that's still exciting and fun, and it's very quick and fast-paced, but I just liked the 25-yard line. And there was one game, I forget exactly which one it was, it went like eight overtimes or something like that.
Georgia Tech, Georgia.
Georgia Tech, Georgia was one of them. That was more recently, I think. But there was one back in 2018 or 2019. I think Penn State was involved in one. There was an A&M game. I forget exactly what it was. But they changed the rule, I think, because those games went way too long. And that's a lot of extra plays for all these guys to play. And they changed it, but I don't know how you feel, Dibs. Me personally, I was upset when they just changed it to third overtime and on a dueling extra or a two-point conversion instead of getting the ball at the 25-yard line again.
Yeah, the whole thing kind of annoys me. I'd rather have them just play regular football like they do in the NFL. But, you know, when you go to that format where you go from the 25, that's fine. And I'm kind of with you where a third overtime of that wouldn't be that bad. And it used to be that in the third overtime, then you had to go for two.
Yes.
And so instead of that, they just went now to where, let's just go for two. And so that, for me, it cuts you to the chase, which I guess is what they want. You know, student athletes, we don't want to have them overexposed and get hurt. So that bugs me probably less than the baseball one does.
Oh, college football overtime, though, is just, you have highlights. It's tense play every single snap. And if you bet overs in college football, just hope and pray for overtime, because the over will hit no matter what, essentially, if the game goes to overtime. So
yeah, that's where if you have the under, you're probably equally bothered by that. You know, if you're an under better and it's, you know, 13-13 and the over-under is like 48.5.
Well, you're thinking, in danger.
You're in real danger. And I'm thinking about the game I went to at College Station, Texas A&M.
Oh.
And that's almost now 9 years ago. Tennessee and A&M, they went to overtime. A&M wins it 45-38. Josh Dobbs and Alvin Kamara on the field for Tennessee.
Wow.
Kamara with a monster game. He had 8 catches for a 161, 18 carries for 127.
Oh my God.
In a loss.
Almost 300 all purpose yards.
Right, and 3 touchdowns. And that was overtime. And so being there, that was one of those incredible games. But I don't mind it in the third overtime if you want to just cut to it and do the 2-point conversions. Yeah. Oh.
You know what that means? It's our All-Star Week prize blowout, and right now it's time to win the Warriors prize pack and a $100 gift card from Laughing Monk Brewing. The first person to call our contest line and guess the former All-Star player correctly will win. We've already given you the clues, so you have all the ammo that you need. That means the first person to call 415-523-4652. Again, first person to call 415-523-4652 and guess the player correctly, you win. Thank you to the Warriors for providing the prize pack, Sam, and everybody at Laughing Monk for providing this awesome prize, the $100 gift card. The Morning Roast will give away the next prize at 7:30 tomorrow morning. We've got 2 more full days worth of contest giveaways. Again, that's tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning with the morning show, towards the midday with Stani and Goo, and then us here on Willard and Dibs to close things out, and that's happening both tomorrow and on Friday to close out our All-Star Week prize blowout. And at Dibs, once we do get the correct answer, we will go back and double-check and make sure you had the right answer in your mind. I feel pretty confident that you're going to get this one right.
Yeah, but, one of the tougher ones, but ultimately when you think about it and you allow yourself to let it permeate inside your head, you're going to get it right.
What was the first two for this show this week? What were the first two contest ones? I forget exactly what they were.
One of them was Brandon Crawford.
Yeah, he was Monday.
Yep.
Grew up, wrote Redwood City, and then went to UCLA.
Correct.
And then
yesterday was Marco Scudero.
Oh, yes. Born in Venezuela, 2012 NLCS
right.
MVP.
And Mark and I got into a brief debate before he shouted me down about where you're from, because Marco Scudero's dad is Italian, and his mom is Spanish. So Marco Scudero was born in Venezuela, so he is from Venezuela, but he also is Italian and Spanish.
He has Italian and Spanish he's descent.
Right. Yes. So the whole idea was where you're from.
You're from where you're born. Yeah.
Okay.
I think, right?
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
And, you know, he went on to say, you know, what if you're American and you happen to just be in Venezuela, your mom is, and
well,
then you're
lucky
born
for
there.
You. Dual citizenship, baby.
Exactly. So that's something that we got into.
Yeah.
And
I'm with you on this one.
So if you, you know, if you happen to be vacationing, if you happen to have a wife or a partner and you guys are vacationing in, I don't know, let's just say Jamaica, just in case somebody's going to Jamaica and next thing you know, maybe you have a kid born in Jamaica. So is that kid Jamaican, or are they living in the Bay Area? Because their parents happen to live in the Bay Area. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
Yeah, we're just talking.
Just people talking.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Marco Scudero was the answer yesterday here on Willard and Dibs.
Yeah, and they've gotten progressively tougher. I think today's is tougher than the previous two.
We will see who gets this one right today. And again, once we have that right answer, we will confirm with you and tell you what the answer was. Okay. Do we have a winner? No? Not yet.
We're in the process of collecting the winner.
Matt in San Ramon.
Matt in San Ramon is our winner. Congratulations to Matt. So that means I'm free to give out who the answer was, right?
It is.
All right. Matt in San Ramon, congratulations. He called Ken on our contest line, and he said the famous words, Jason Schmitz.
There you go.
That's the winner. Great Giant, and then he became a Dodger, but still a great Giant while he was a Giant. The clues, again, were an All-Star in 03, 04, and 06, born in Lewiston, Idaho. He is a pitcher. and he shares the last name with the current Giant, but they spell it differently. That's because Casey Schmidt, S-C-H-M-I-T-T, and he got a D mixed in there for Jason Schmidt.
There you go.
And that's the difference. Clever. So congratulations.
Clever clues there, guys. Very good.
Good clue given by Lucas. All right, while we're in this little transitionary window, I might as well let you know that you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. All right, let's hear from Alex Rodriguez. Dibs, I know this might make you throw up because this is how much you hate this, but I want to set the stage for this conversation once again. A-Rod was on The Herd with Colin Cowherd yesterday talking about the automated ball and strike challenge system that MLB decided to use in the All-Star game, talking about how eager he was to see it in action, and then also more broadly, all the changes that have happened to baseball of late, and the credit that he feels deserves to be given to Rob Manfred, commissioner of baseball. Here is A-Rod with Colin Cowherd on The Herd.
I'm a big Rob Manfred fan, and I think he deserves a lot of credit. Single-handedly, I mean, with the changes he's made the last two or three years to really save our game, he probably belongs in Cooperstown. But the reason why I like this, Colin, technology's made the game better. Anytime you make players and umpires more accountable, it's a great thing. Going back 10 years, that strike you see right there on the screen, 83% of the time, the umpires were getting it right. 10 years ago. Today, that number's ballooned to 97%. So it's a much better quality, much better game, much better accuracy. All those things are good. Now, the application of it, we have to go see how it works. I know they've been doing it in the minor leagues. I am really looking forward to tonight to see how that plays out, because I'm a little bit on the fence, but I'm more pro because I think Rob Manfred deserves some credit. He's built some equity here over the last 3 or 4 years with his changes.
Okay, so it's A-Rod. And his motivations might not be pure, and it is A-Rod, so pretty safe to assume that. I will grant you all of that, Dibs. I just think there's some truth to the fact that Manfred's decisions to change rules and who you're crediting the changes, the rules for, like, whose original idea was it. I frankly don't care that they weren't Manfred's if they weren't at all. Now, Manfred has done a lot of things wrong. The A's in my mind are like number one, like example number one of a thing that he absolutely messed up. But if we're talking specifically about the changes to the game of baseball that I think have made it more appealing to a wider audience, I think I have to credit Rob Manfred for spearheading those changes and for actually deciding to implement them in the first place.
There's a few pieces in this that I want to highlight. One is Alex Rodriguez saying, you know, he should be in the Hall of Fame. Like, he can't even finish that sentence without laughing, knowing that he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Is that what you're telling me?
Clemens is not in the Hall of Fame. Bond's not in the Hall of Fame. But let's get Rob Manfred in there, because we all believe that Alan Bud Selig, there's nothing we can do. He had to get in the Hall of Fame before Barry Bonds. What a flipping joke that we get a commissioner in before the home run champ. And yes, I know Barry Bonds has got some taint in his background, and he may or may not have used performance-enhancing drugs. I think that he probably did.
Yeah, pretty safe assumption.
You got the hit king who goes out and dies, and now, after he dies, Flaccid Rob, the commissioner of baseball, now comes out and says, well, you know, we need to make sure we get Pete in the Hall of Fame. What an absolute embarrassment. You wait until the man dies, and now all of a sudden you have a light bulb go off above your head that tells you that now you need to put Pete Rose in. That, to me, is another thing that is infuriating. Whether or not you think Pete deserves to go in the Hall of Fame or not, I think that he does. He served his penance. He was ostracized for the game. Banned for life. Great. Now he no longer has life, and so now we're going to go ahead and put him in the Hall of Fame? That's a joke. So
I hear you.
You can highlight the things that he's done that are good, and that's fine. And the other thing about Alex Rodriguez, he didn't save the game. The game was not dying. We're not talking about the game on life support. Whether or not he helped make changes to the game that have given it a little bit of a nudge and a little bit of a boost among younger people in particular, he didn't save the game. The game was not dying.
Okay, what if I just... We rewound back in time. I never played the A-Rod sound for you. We're not talking about Manfred to the Hall of Fame, and we're not talking about A-Rod being the messenger. If I just told you, I think Rob Manfred deserves some credit for the rule changes in baseball over the last, what, 5 years? And I think it's made the game of baseball better and more appealing. Would you agree with that?
Sure. I mean, yeah. It's like me looking at you and you're about to eat a steak sandwich. And I walk over there and I say, Mark, you shouldn't eat that. It's going to lead to possible heart trouble in 47 years. And you go, you know, you have a good point there, Dibs. And you put the steak sandwich aside. And then I tell all my friends, I saved his life. I saved Mark Grandy's life right there. That's kind of what Alex Rodriguez is talking about. And yes, are the changes that he made positive changes for the game? Yeah, I'll give you that. The game needed to be more of a faster-paced game, and it is. And, you know, that was through the rules we've all talked about, the pitch clock and the disengagements and all the rest of it. But to say that he saved the game and to say that over the last 4 or 5 years that now he needs to go to the Hall of Fame, that to me is complete hyperbole, and it is way beyond the way I look at him as a commissioner.
Okay, let me just run through some of the changes that have happened recently under Rob Manfred. And you can tell me you like him, you don't like him, good for baseball, bad for baseball, whatever you want to say. The pitch clock. You like that one?
It's good.
Yeah, I think it's good.
We've gone from a peak of 3 hours and 11 minutes average time of game in 2021. This year so far, 2 hours and 40. So you're looking at a half an hour off the game. I think that's a good thing.
Okay. What about the 3-batter minimum for a pitcher that comes into the game? They have to face at least 3 batters before they can be replaced.
Pointless.
Or the end of an inning.
I think it's pointless, especially now that we have the pitch clock. I think that's one that could go away. That rule came in before the pitch clock as a way to cut down on all the time with, you know, pitching changes, and the guy's got to come out and warm up, and he's going to face one batter, and we go back to the pen. I think with the pitch clock, that is now superfluous and unnecessary.
What about, this is in a similar vein, I would imagine you probably feel the same way, limiting mound visits from people out of the dugout.
Don't mind it. I mean, I don't think that that's really changed the game. That, for me, is kind of a very, very limited impact. If I asked you what the rule is, would you be able to tell me?
How many? You get 3 mound visits a game? 4 mound? I don't know what it is off the top of my head.
That's kind of my point.
But I
think it's more than that.
Maybe is it 5? Yeah, 5 a game?
It used to be when you made a second one, you had to then take the pitcher out. And it might be 7 a game.
6. Ken from the back says 6 mound visits. You get limited to 6 a game.
And this is my point. Like, is it really that impactful?
That is a pretty big break in the action, though. And if you can cut down on those, it will make the game feel like it's just more smooth and moving along quicker, which is, I think, ideally what baseball wanted.
I suppose. I think the whole idea of moving it along and the smoothness, it all stems from the pitch clock. And whether or not, you know, you have 6 mound visits or 8 mound visits, I don't think that that really affects it that much. So I'm going to give that one a yawn on the Rob Manfred rule change-ometer.
What about limiting disengagements by pitchers? This includes pickoffs. It includes just stepping off the rubber and all of that. Limiting disengagements by pitchers. Good or bad?
It's all right. I mean, it's good, but what I'd like to see is when you get to the 8th inning, that rule goes away. Because I like the drama of a late inning game when, you know, the pitcher's sweating it, and maybe the pitcher wants to step off and it's a high leverage moment. I would like late in the game for those rules to go away. Much like in basketball, I think that we should have alternate possession in the NBA until the final 2 minutes. Because nothing kills the flow of an NBA game like a jump ball. If you watch an NBA game this year and there's a jump ball situation, that's a good 90 seconds of, you know, you got to get to the circle and you stand there and I stand there. And we're going to posturate and all the rest of it. Just go alternate possession until the last 2 minutes. But go ahead.
Ken was also wrong, by the way. Thanks a lot, Ken. The mound visit limit is 4 per game for each team, not 6.
Does that include taking the guy out?
No, going up and just talking to him.
Does that include the catcher?
Does it include the catcher going out?
This is my point.
Let's see.
Is we don't...
Any visit to the mound by a manager, coach, or player, regardless of the reason, counts as a mound visit.
But not including injury. So if a guy gets injured, or, you know, if something happens to the mound and you
visits
need...
to clean cleats in rainy weather to check on a potential injury or after an offensive substitution are exceptions. There you go.
After an offensive substitution.
Yes.
So if I bring in a pinch hitter, then you get a free mound visit.
I guess.
I've gone from yawn to this is stupid. This is stupid.
Okay, what else do we have here? Another change made by Rob Manfred. Bigger bases, Dibs. In making the bases larger. Yawn, good, bad, what do you think?
Bad.
Bad? Why?
It's bad because...
It increases the number of stolen base attempts.
Has it?
I don't know.
Exactly.
And that's what I was supposed to
and
do.
I should deep dive that one because... And maybe I can find that relatively quickly. When did they institute the bigger base? Was it 2023? Feels like this is the
third
year of bigger base.
This is either the second
base.
Or third year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just stupid. The idea of baseball, the purity of baseball is 60 feet 6 inches, the rubber to the plate, and 90 feet from home plate to the bases. Now, I wonder if, I guess it is shorter than 90 feet now because I think they made the square base a bigger square. Mm-hmm. So what's the distance now between first and second base?
What is it, 89 feet and 10 inches?
No, it's smaller than that. They didn't increase each base by an inch. That would be 89-10. If you only made it an inch bigger, how much bigger is the base now as opposed to the base of my childhood? I'll go ahead and answer it. Stupid. The bigger base is stupid.
But if it encourages more stolen base attempts, isn't that a good thing?
I suppose,
we'll
but...
We'll have to go and see if it does.
And I'll take a look at it right now because, I mean, what would be the percentage that would make it impactful? 10%?
The bases have been increased from 15 square inches to 18 square inches beginning in 2023. So this is the third year.
So that's half a foot. So you're looking at a 6-inch. So now it's 89-6 between bases. If you're telling me that 6 inches is going to be the difference between I can't steal and I can steal, then... I mean, what do we even do?
A lot of those stolen bases are bang-bang plays, Dibs. You'd be surprised how just a couple of inches will change it.
Yeah. Yeah, keep going with the rules, because there's a couple that may not be on your list that I'd like to talk about.
The ones that I mean, obviously the Ghost Runner, which we already talked about. I'm not a fan of that. And I... Honestly, a lot of the others, it took a while for the baseball purist in me to accept it, but if I'm coming from a point of I want baseball to be as successful as possible, which means... a smoother, quicker game where you're trying to encourage more things that have become exceedingly rare in today's game. I see the logic behind a lot of these. I personally can't get behind the Ghost Runner rule change, so I'm out on that one. But all the others, I don't view it as really damaging the game in any way. If it's making any meaningful impact, you're going to have to look at the data and actually see. But I don't see a major negative from any of those. But what other rule changes do you have, Dibs? Because these are just the ones that I jotted down.
The whole idea of you can't, not only can you not block the plate, but you can't block the base either. So even if a fielder is attempting to catch a ball that's been thrown on a stolen base or a throw from the outfield, if you're at all impeding the runner in any way, that runner is now automatically safe. That's just lame. Like the catcher, you got to be up in front of the plate. So you have to, as a catcher, you have to be able to receive the ball and then retreat back and get a guy who's diving to home plate.
The blocking home plate call or rule, it kind of feels like the catcher's in a situation where like a lot of NBA defenders are in. You're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like I don't know how to play defense anymore in basketball. What am I supposed to do? I am moving completely backwards. I'm standing my ground, yet I get called for a block when the guy with the ball runs me over. That kind of is what it feels like to be a catcher when you're trying to catch the throw, but also give the runner a lane. But what if the ball takes you into the lane? You have to go and try to catch the ball in the first place. I'm with you on that one. The rule seems very, very difficult for catchers specifically to follow in the first place.
Very difficult. I mean, almost impossible. And I know that it's the Buster Posey rule, and I don't think that outside of Eric Burns, anybody wants to get back to where you could absolutely devour the catcher. I just think that there's a happy medium between the two, between, you know, the old school where the catcher would be there and you just absolutely light him up in hopes of making it to home plate, as opposed to now, which I think we've gone too far in the other direction.
The 510 just texted in on the Boxer and Gersten Work Injury Attorneys text line. I haven't been able to look this up myself, Dibs. I know you're quick there bringing up the numbers. The 510 writes that in 2022, there were about 2,500 attempted stolen bases across baseball.
Yep.
2023, up to 3,500. and 2024, 3,600. So it's a pretty steep jump in terms of increase in stolen base attempts. And that is action. That is exciting action that you get to see in a baseball game that you haven't seen a ton of late.
Okay. And I ran the numbers quickly just on 2022 and 2025.
Uh-huh.
In 2022, 1.36 attempts a game.
Okay.
This year, 1.86 attempts a game. So we're up a half attempt a game. So if you watch
a small number in the first place, that percentage is a pretty decent jump.
Well, the percentage is, I mean, you're up from 1.36 to 1.86, so that is an increase of about 30%.
Yeah, that's not bad. A 30% jump over the course of just
but
a couple of years.
It's not about the percent. It's about the overall attempt. You're still not in a spot
2022, 2,500 attempts. Last year, 3,600 attempts. That's a jump of 1,100 in just 2 years.
Okay.
That feels significant to me.
Well, it's significant in that you've gone from a league where you never steal to a league where you actually kind of steal. And let me just go back to the 1985, which feels like that was a year where you did a lot of running. I think that's like peak Vince Coleman, and that's Ricky Henderson when, you know, the steal was the steal. And I'm seeing just rough math, 4,500 stolen base attempts.
That's a lot.
In 2,100 games. So that is, you know, you're looking at 2.3 a game. So you've gone from nobody ever steals to we're up a half a steal a game, half a steal attempt a game. So if you watch two games, you're going to see one extra time where a guy tries to steal a bag. Okay, Rob. Attaboy, Rob.
So what would you prefer? Bases stay the same size and you keep the downward trend of fewer and fewer stolen bases?
I don't think that... Well, first of all, the stolen base is... It's a bad proposition anyway because, like, runners are not any faster than they used to be, but the pitchers deliver the ball to home plate much more quickly just based on the velocity of the throw. Catchers are more adept now at throwing the ball to second base than they used to be. So the steal, in and of itself, is a bad proposition. And I don't think that the extra 3 inches on the base are the sole reason. I would argue that the disengagement rule is as big a factor in the ability to steal. Because now if the pitcher throws over once and the pitcher throws over a second time, that second time he has to get you, right?
Yeah.
Or it's a balk.
The third time. They can throw over twice in a row, but you don't want to really do that because then you know I can't throw over this third time unless I know 100% that I'm going to get him.
Right. And so I still think we're at a point where, okay, 1.86 attempts a game. The steal is a bad proposition. So we boost the base by 3 inches. Big deal, Rob. Good job. I mean, 3 inches, that's never a factor.
I think you just hate Rob Manfred so much that you're not willing to give him credit for helping the game of baseball out.
I give him credit for the pitch clock. We've shaved 30 minutes off the game. That is incredible. I don't know what other innovation you could look at in any sport like the NBA. The idea of what the shot clock resets to 12, is
14.
That right? 14
for
if you get an offensive rebound. That has done a good amount for pace of play. So you get into a game where you get an offensive rebound, you can't just hold it for 23 seconds anymore. You've got to kind of get moving, and that's helped pace of play in many ways as the pitch clock has helped. 3 inches on the base, to me, has done very little.
Maybe I'm just totally misremembering, and I have to go back and search through like news pieces and stories about baseball before all these changes happened, and it was around the pandemic, but I know what you said earlier, baseball wasn't dying, and A-Rod saying that Rob single-handedly saved the game, that is incredibly superfluous, and I get that. But you ask anybody in baseball, not anybody, the vast majority of people in baseball back then, Dibs, before these changes took place, and when games were routinely like 3 hours and 20 minutes long, and it was a lot of no action, it was meetings on the mound, it was disengagements, it was throw overs, it was pitchers trying to freeze hitters by just staring in for not just seconds, but like a lot, like tens of seconds before throwing a pitch. And you ask them the state of baseball, like, is this game in trouble? And they would say, yeah, changes have to be made. And okay, Rob, you're the leader of this sport. Like, congrats for doing what was needed. But I do think that baseball is in a much better spot now than it was 4 or 5 years ago. And whether you want to blame Rob Manfred for letting it get to that spot in the first place, okay, that's fair. I do think the sport as a whole, and maybe we just talk about baseball as an entity as opposed to Rob Manfred as an individual, I think baseball has made a lot of smart changes. And I'm having an easier time enjoying the game of baseball now than I did 5 years ago.
Yeah, I find it to be largely the same. The only difference is that the game gets over faster. And I'm looking at attendance 2019, last year pre-pandemic, 28,200 a game on the average. This year, it's 28,800. So you're up 600 fans per game across the league. That is about a 2% increase. Attaboy, Rob. Time of game from 3 hours and 10 down to 2 hours and 40. That's great. You shaved a half an hour. Runs a game, 9.66 a game down to 8.7. So you're down a run a game, but you're doing it in 30 minutes less. Okay, so your game is less offensively exciting, but at least it's getting over a half an hour sooner. So that to me is a wash. Rob's league, scoring is down because it's too hard to hit. And you can ban the shift and you can do all the things you want. If you really want to make the league get back to where hitters have an actual chance, you need to do something about the mound. And the last time that offenses were this bad was when Bob Gibson was dominant and they lowered the mound. So if you really want to shake up the tree, Rob, that's the change you need to make. Make it so it's not so hard to hit.
That would take some guts doing that. I don't think he has it, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, you said it. I didn't.
Well, I know how you feel about him.
Well, I mean,
you don't need to say it.
I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm a Z-Rod. I'm going to laugh when I say
it. Now, there was a text earlier on the Boxer and Gershon work injury attorney's text on as we're talking about Rob Manfred because of what A-Rod said. There's no doubt, and I can't find it immediately right now, so I apologize. I can't shout out your area code. There's no doubt that what Rob Manfred allowed to happen with the A's, it's a stain on him and all of Major League Baseball. I don't think anyone is arguing that. I'm talking specifically about the rule changes on the field. I think they've largely been successful for baseball. But what got my mind, or what this topic got my mind rolling about, what are some changes, Dibs, that you'd like to see maybe in some other sports? Because you talk about basketball, and there's a lot of talk about how basketball has become... the strategy has kind of been stripped away from the game because everybody, thanks to mathematics and analytics, is playing the same game where you only shoot threes and you get in the paint. The mid-range shot is completely gone. And there's a lot of talk about Adam Silver and making new rules and changing rules in order to kind of encourage uniqueness in terms of the strategy of the game going forward. Because you watch the Boston Celtics play and you watch the Portland Trailblazers play. And maybe... one team is more successful at it than the other. Hint, hint, the Celtics are much better at it than the Blazers, but they generally play the same kind of way, at least on the offensive end of the court. So how does basketball get back to a game where you have different kind of styles of play that can work and can win? And I think that's a big question facing NBA, Dibs. And as I begin to think about what rule changes might help the league of basketball, that's where my mind initially goes to, is trying to find some way to just shake up the math of it all and make other shots, other plans of attack viable again in basketball.
Yeah, and it's very simple. You widen the court. You widen the court and you make the corner three an actual three. Mm. Just looking at the league average from last year, 42.1% of all shots in all games, 82 games in the association, 42% of shots were threes. 42%.
That's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
And what would the percent be of threes and shots in the paint?
Oh, in the paint?
Like,
it's probably 80%.
I was going to say 90, but yeah.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
And, you know, 20% in the mid-range. And if you're not Kevin Durant or maybe Luka Doncic and a few other guys, coaches are pulling out
DeMar
their collective
DeRozan.
Air. Right. It's like, we don't want that to be the case because you're not going to be good. You got to shoot like 80%. In the mid-range to make it worthwhile as opposed to when you're just hoisting three. So my solution would be you make the corner three a real three. It'd be a uniform 23 feet, 9 inches. So you stretch the court out by about 2 feet in each direction. You widen that thing and you make it so there's a lot more room inside the three-point line. And you also make it so unless you're a really good three-point shooter, you're not just going to be able to stand in the corner and hoist anymore, because that's what it's come to.
I like that, and my mind also went to the corner three, but what I thought was maybe you just extend the three-point line a little longer, make it longer everywhere, and then don't change the width of the court, but just have the three-point line intersect the sideline wherever it naturally would and eliminate the corner three entirely. That shot from as deep as you possibly could be in the corner is a two, not worth three anymore. Just eliminate the corner three entirely, and the three-point line would only be wherever that line intersects with the baselines above that. I mean, that would discourage the corner three. It wouldn't necessarily encourage twos from that spot, but it would at least force, similar to what you're talking about, Dibs, it would at least force teams to think about other shots to try to get other than that corner three.
And that's what I think you need to get to, because the sameness in basketball is what lends it to be, you know, kind of ordinary. And I just was punching it up real quick 10 years ago when I think the Warriors that year won their first championship, 2015.
Yep.
And they were the three-point shootingest team that we'd ever seen.
Yeah, shout out Charles Barkley. Jump shooting team can never win.
Yeah. Well, in fact, there were three teams that shot more threes than the Warriors. They just were the best at making them.
Yeah.
The Warriors shot 27 threes a game in that year. And last year, you would have been laughed at if that's all you shot.
Would have been last by a wide margin, right?
Yes. And that year, 2015, the league shot 26.8% of shots were threes.
One quarter.
Right. In 10 years, that jumped up to 42.1%. So we've reached a point where every team is emulating what, you know, the Rockets did that year and the Warriors did that year, and a couple other teams shot a ton of threes. And now, like, Boston shot more than, I think, darn near 50 threes a game this year.
I don't know the number off the top of my head, but
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Have it right here. 3-point attempts per game. They shot 48 threes a game. Jesus. 48 threes, and they shot 42 twos. So that's what Boston did. And Boston was a really good team.
Very good.
And it's because you can get Al Horford and just pop him in the corner on offense and say, all right, Al, we'll get to you when we get to you. Get your hands up and get those knees bent. And when it comes your way, just fire.
Let
just
it rain. Away.
Yep. And last in the association last year was Denver, 32 threes a game. So
yeah,
that's basically where we are. The three has got to be real again.
Okay, the 707 just sent in a text, and I don't know if we share a brain, but this was my idea as well, and this comes courtesy the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line. The 707 basically wrote this thing as well. My really fun idea for basketball, Dibs, and it kind of comes from baseball in that every arena, every baseball stadium in the major league level is different, right? You have different dimensions. You have different wall heights. You have different everything. Let each NBA team set their own three-point line, and they could put it wherever on the court they want. So if you are, I don't know, I guess there's a bunch of different ways to think about it. If you're the Warriors and you have Steph Curry, would it encourage you, would it be better for you to put the three-point line deeper than normal so that to incentivize Steph's unique ability, or you don't have a lot of good shooters elsewhere? Would you want it closer to help out like Kuminga or Moody or whoever the hell it is? Jimmy Butler, who's good in the mid-range but can't really hit a three? If you're a terrible three-point shooting team, would you put it on the other half of the court to just make it a two-point game entirely? This will never, ever, ever happen.
You've been having gummies.
The possibilities, Dibs.
You got gummies in there.
The possibilities
are, you listening to this
are
idea?
Endless. Each team in their home arena gets to set where the three-point line would be.
Now, would you have to set it and forget it? In other words, you set it for the year, or could you change it based on the opponent?
I think you should set it for the year. But
right.
the possibilities on changing it for every game would be amazing.
I mean, that's wild, where you get a bad three-point shooting team in town and you make it a close three. Or maybe, like you said, you go ahead and back that thing all the way out and you've got Steph Curry. And
like, you put it to 30 feet and the only one person that feels good about making those shots is Steph. You get an advantage that way?
You do, but you also have... I do, but you also would limit your other guy's ability to shoot the three.
True.
And I thought you were going to advocate instituting like a four-point shot, which I think that's more likely that comes.
You're right. That is more
future.
Likely than what I'm saying. Yeah.
I mean, it's something I've never thought about. That is kind of a wild...
Just the uniqueness of baseball stadiums makes me think about if you could have a unique court. Each team could have a unique court and kind of set the dimensions themselves. It's partly why I love baseball so much, because that Patrick Bailey walk off inside the park home run was a home run at any other ballpark in the world other than this one, and ultimately turned out to be a home run too because he was able to run around the bases the whole way before the ball got back into the infield. But partly why I love baseball is the uniqueness of it and how different a game is based on where it's played. It's uniform. It's almost sterile in basketball because everything is the same.
Yeah, and it has to be the same. I mean, are you going to advocate for maybe we put the rim up at 10 feet and 6 inches and we make the foul line at 18? Or are you just talking about the three-point line?
That is different because, like, just a distance from where you shoot from doesn't mean you still can't shoot from the same distance. You're just changing how many points that shot is worth on a given night.
So we're not going to tinker with the rim. We're just going to go ahead and leave the rim.
I wouldn't tinker with the rim. No.
I mean, okay, so you're just saying you can move the court. Can you also, like, make the court shorter if you're, or not as wide if you're a team that's really good in the full court defense? You can go ahead and change that, or just the 3-point line.
I'll take it under consideration, but
okay.
For now I'm only willing to commit to the 3-point line.
This is a crazy idea. I commend you for your out of the box thinking. It's kind of hilarious when you
Isn't
think
it
about
fun?
It is super fun.
I think it's probably too fun. It would make this so interesting strategically. I don't know what the right decision would be.
Right. Based on, you know, who you would want to face and, you know, how you'd want it to go.
Yeah, based on the strengths of your team. Because, again, if you were a terrible three-point shooting team and you would just be incentivized to kill the three-point shot entirely, and you have a really good three-point shooting team come in, you're adept at scoring in the paint and getting the twos, you have a major advantage over, say, the Boston Celtics who only shoot threes. and suddenly all their threes are worth twos, and you have a leg up to beat them.
I've never seen you so happy at this idea.
This is amazing. I'm telling you, Dibs.
Call Adam Silver.
I'm telling you. I mean, it's never going to happen in my wildest dreams. But I think it would solve a lot of issues that the NBA is facing.
Well, I think the main issue is what I pointed out with the math. It's just too many threes. So whether or not you go to the individualized court, which I think is a little bit of a wild idea.
It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
I know.
Probably not going to happen. But for me, the solution is simply to just widen the court. And I know this is never going to happen, but let's get rid of these courtside seats. Apologies to Joe Lacob because you behave in a perfect manner as a fan, but you got fans spilling drinks. You got fans with their legs on the court tripping refs. Mm. Go ahead and widen the court. Move those fans back behind the barrier, back behind the bench. I don't need to see in an NBA game Joe Schmo and his date sitting next to Steve Kerr. I don't need that. Like, you've got the players that are on the courtside row, and you've got the press table, and then the other team. We don't need to fill in with six fans over there. Let's just go ahead and lose them.
You don't need Brandon Pajamski sidelines at a Valkyries game?
No, and we should be talking about the team and the performance of the ladies more than we should be talking about, you know, a Golden State Warrior twirling his finger at the first sign of a bad call.
I got my Valkyrie shirt on today. They were in Seattle. They played an early game today, midweek early game. They fell on a really tight one to the Storm in Seattle.
They did, but I don't even know if they scored 60 points.
It was a defensive battle.
Well,
in Seattle.
I was reading some of the comments from Coach Natalie Nicasi saying, well, shots just weren't falling. Mm. So I don't know if it was defense or just if the offense never woke up this morning.
One thing is for sure about the Valkyries. They might not win every game, and they're on a little bit of a losing streak right now, but they are in every single game that they play. They just do not get blown out, and they have a chance to win like every single timeout. But the last few, I think they've lost three in a row now. They've all been like super competitive games throughout.
Yeah.
And they could have won all of them. This one kind of got away from them a little bit in the last couple of minutes. But the other two were like down to the wire last minute of games.
Was it the Sparks where they had the, or no, it was the Mercury over the weekend where they didn't get the whistle. The whistle went against them.
Yes.
That was a, I know we don't talk a lot about the W here on the show.
But,
and she should have been. That was a ferocious call. And I'm not one to call out officials, and WNBA officiating's been a thing this year.
Yeah.
And then you see a call like that where the Valkyries defender was in a perfectly legally guarded position, arm straight up, and there was minimal contact, and yet crack the whistle, we got free throws. It's just a shame to see. You hate to see it.
Yeah. Valkyries lost. Okay. I solved basketball, Dibs. Now how do we make football better? What rule changes do we need to implement in the NFL to make this sport better?
Well, one thing that I would do, and again, this is from the file of It Will Never Happen, and they used to do this in the Arena League, shout out the San Jose Sabercats, mm-hmm. where you get down to the end of the game situation and the team's got the lead and they've got the ball and you're out of timeouts. Let's just say there's a minute 40 to go and it's 1st and 10 and you're out of timeouts. Well, it's game over because I can kneel, game over. In the Arena League, you have to gain positive yardage or the clock stops. And so what happens in the end of the game is you've got to run a play. So there's no more, we're up, you know, we get the first down and the clock is running and now we get into victory formation. There's no victory formation, my friends. You got to get positive yardage. So that would mean QB sneak. Maybe you run a play. You've got to do something. Otherwise, the clock automatically stops. That's a rule. And again, this will never happen because player safety and all the rest of it. But that's a rule I would love to see because it gets frustrating when you're watching a game and it's like, well, minute 40 to go, that was a great game. And it ends with a QB taking three straight knees and then it's handshakes and it's game over.
Pretty anticlimactic.
Pretty much, yeah.
I like that. You have to gain at least
an inch.
An inch.
You fight for that inch.
So generally, I would imagine you run the ball, but you run the ball, you also run the risk of being tackled in the backfield.
Or having a fumble. You know, the QB sneak would be the most logical way, but if you've got a QB making $53 million a year, maybe you don't want to cram him up into the line three straight times. So it definitely brings a little bit more strategy into the end of the game.
You're encouraging the tush-push to happen three straight times is what you're doing.
Yeah, that is one that I would have gotten rid of, but I know it got close this year, but ultimately the tush push remains. And the other thing, just bring back the kickoff. This kickoff, I don't even know what they call it, dynamic kickoff or whatever they call it. It's lame. It's a lame kickoff. Just bring back the my 10 guys and my kicker. You're 11. I'm going to kick it, and we're going to come tackle you, because that would bring back the onside kick, which the onside kick is now dead.
Me specifically, I could not be further out on the new onside kick rule. It is the absolute stupidest thing I have ever heard, where you have to be trailing. It has to be the second half or the fourth quarter?
Fourth quarter, I believe.
You're trailing. Has to be the fourth quarter. And you have to announce to the whole world, we're going to try to onside kick it here. Be ready. When Sean Payton began the second half of the Super Bowl against the Colts with an onside kick, one of the best moments.
Oh, yeah.
And that I can remember in Super Bowl history. And they get the onside kick. The Saints go on to win that football game, partially because of that momentum shifter. You take away the element of surprise of that. You have to be trailing, and it has to be the fourth quarter.
And you have to declare it.
And you have to declare it. Can you put me into any more of a box? That is ridiculous.
It's akin to calling somebody at home and saying, hi, is Mr. Johnson, Mrs. Johnson there? Yeah, this is she. Hi, I just want to let you know that about 1:15 tonight, I'm going to rob you. I'm going to climb in the downstairs window. I'm going to sneak up the stairs, and I'm going for your jewelry.
Let me prepare my defenses.
Right.
Sorry, you can't do that anymore.
No.
Or your odds of success just dropped from 20% to 1%.
Yep.
Congrats.
And think about, like, Dan Campbell and how many times he would just come out there and bite a kneecap. Like,
oh, yeah.
He would probably onside kick every time.
Hell, just of course.
He's so much of a risk taker, but the element of that, it's been ruined. And I know player safety, and I don't want to increase the risk of players getting hurt, although, as Willard always says, the injury rate is 100% in the NFL anyway.
Yeah.
Let's bring back the kickoff and make it, even though most kickoffs end with, you know, blocking the back or holding anyway, at least you get the excitement of the big high kick and then the catch, and then you get everybody to engage, and it's an actual play.
Yeah. I feel less strongly about changing the kickoff back to the OG kickoff, but if that's what it takes to get the onside kick back to normal, because you have to line up like you normally would when you do the onside kick to keep the element of surprise there, then I'm willing to do it. Maybe you just incentivize more fair catches to save injuries, but the NFL doesn't want to do that because they want more action. I don't know, but I would be willing to put up with the most dangerous play in the sport if it meant you get the surprise factor back for the onside kick.
Without a doubt. Yeah. I don't know how many onside kicks got converted last year, but I would imagine it's probably five or fewer over the course of games.
I think so. Let's see. What else should the NFL change? Underthrown balls down the field, quit calling defensive pass interference. If you have a ball that's like a deep ball, a go ball, and maybe there's a little bit of subjectivity here, you have an individual ref's discretion that you have to trust in terms of what is like a go ball. It's an over-the-shoulder kind of catch attempt. You have a ball that's so severely underthrown that the receiver has to slow down, and that slowing results in the contact from a trailing defender. That's not defensive pass interference. You should have to have some degree of accuracy on the throw from the quarterback in order to deserve DPI. Terrible throw that's 10 yards short of your intended target. I don't care if the DB tackles the dude before he touches the ball. That's not a defensive pass interference.
Agreed, and I would go one step further to adopt the college pass interference rules, where if the pass is more than 15 yards in the NFL, you get it at the spot of the foul. So you get these 40 and 50 yard pass interference penalties where you just chuck it up, and if the defender's beat by a step and he doesn't turn around, I don't get my head around, that's a flag, and now we get 45 free yards and a penalty. I would make pass interference like every other penalty, which is it's 15 yards at the maximum. So if it's PI, you get it's a spot of the foul until you get up to 15 yards, and beyond 15 yards, you just get the 15. You don't get the spot of the foul.
That's interesting, because what happens in college sometimes is if there's a deep ball and it's going to be like a walk-in touchdown, you incentivize committing a penalty. You're incentivizing the defense to grab the receiver.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I'd rather give up a 15-yard penalty than a 50-yard, even just catch, but a 50-yard touchdown too. So that's the one issue that I think of when it comes to that, because you then would be incentivizing the defense to make not a dirty play, but a non-football play in order to save you like 35 yards.
A cheap play. That's fair. And, you know, as we've seen, NFL teams have gotten really clever about how to utilize the penalty to their benefit. Which game was it this past year in the playoffs where the defender kept jumping over the line of scrimmage before the snap? And it was, we were down to the goal line, and they did it so many times that the referees basically said, if you do it again, we're going to just award them a touchdown. Do you remember that?
Was that the Bills and Chiefs again?
That sounds about right.
I don't remember.
Lucas, do you remember that? Where the team intentionally committed so many penalties in a row at the goal line that the refs came out and said, if you do it again, then we're just going to award them the touchdown.
I believe it had the command.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Commanders were one of the teams.
Okay.
Oh, Commanders Eagles. That's what it was, right? Yes. Yes, it was. I remember because it was in Philadelphia. The Commanders and the Eagles playoff game. After the Commanders beat the Lions, they met up in Philadelphia, and yeah, you're right.
The refs threatened to call a rare, palpably unfair act penalty. Which would have given the Eagles a TD.
That's crazy. They encroached
three times, obviously, intentionally, trying to stop the tush push, is what it was.
Yes.
And so, palpably unfair act penalty, the PUA penalty.
Classic, of course. We all know that.
Yeah, so yeah. To your point, if they went to a 15-yard pass interference maximum, teams would adapt and adjust and probably figure out the way to get around it.
They would. I think we've established there are a number of ways that these leagues can adapt.
You fixed basketball, which is cool.
I think I fixed basketball. I know it's never, ever going to happen, but I really would... I would pay to see how that changes the sport. I think it would be a lot of fun, but I know I'm not dealing in reality. I'm dealing in my own fantasy land. It's never going to happen. Anyway, time for a break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up. If you want to weigh in on anything that we've been talking about today, a lot of baseball, a lot of All-Star game, a lot of swing off, and then also some rule changes that we'd like to see across multiple sports, you can let us know at 888-957-9570. Plus, if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to Willard and Dibs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And while you're there, make sure to check out what Steiny and Guru thought about last night's MLB All-Star Game. You're going to want to hear what Guru had to say, and it won't be difficult for you to hear it because, hint, within 5 minutes of the show starting, he was already screaming. That's all available to you on the free Odyssey app. Okay, time for a break. It's Willard and Dibs. Grandy in for Willard, Dibs and Grandy with you. More next right here on 95.7 The Game. Dibs, you'd be surprised how just a couple of inches will change it.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Whoa, you took that out of context.
Wildly, yeah, it's what you guys do back there. Shoes on the other foot now,
normally,
Grandy.
That's what I do, yeah.
And you're really good at it, too.
I am pretty good at that. You're right.
Willard walks into it a lot, and I think part of it's on purpose. He likes to...
He can sense it, and he's like, you know what? All right, let me slow down.
Yep.
Say it clearly. Dibs, lay out. All right, here we go.
That's it.
Yeah.
Play that Grandy one again, Lucas. Let's hear it.
Dibs, you'd be surprised how just a couple of inches will change it.
There you go. And I said something earlier, too, which, you know, had inches involved, but... I'm not going to repeat it because I'm happy to not be
I don't remember
involved
what
in this
it was.
Bit. Well, because I asked you how much they expanded the base, and you told me 3 inches. And I said 3 inches has never made a difference in anything. That's what I said.
All right, there you go, Div. Or there you go, Lucas. You're rolling there, and we can get that from Dibs.
Yeah, and it's, you know, not that I would know, but.
You know what's happening today, Dibs?
Tell me.
It is the ESPYs.
Okay.
Get excited. This is must-see TV, am I right?
You're wrong, but...
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's a perfectly placed event because there's literally nothing on, and maybe that's why they had the WNBA game earlier. I would doubt there's any games in the W going on later today, right?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure on that. I could double-check. I've been looking through all the categories at the ESPYs, and there's a bunch... As far as I could tell, the only one that involves any Bay Area ties, Dibs, and if you know others, and I mean Bay Area ties as in an athlete currently on a Bay Area team or a Bay Area team in and of itself, like Sabrina Ionescu is nominated for best play for her game three deep or her game three WNBA Finals three that helped them win the game and win the final. She's nominated for best play. But specifically about Bay Area teams or a player on a Bay Area team, the only one I can come up with is for best championship performance, Steph Curry nominated for what he did in the Olympics last year for Team USA basketball.
Pretty awesome.
He's on a group there with Simone Biles in the Olympics last year as well, Freddie Freeman for World Series MVP for the Dodgers, and Rory McIlroy winning the Masters, completing his career Grand Slam. So your nominees, Dibs, for Best Championship Performance, Simone Biles, Steph Curry, Freddie Freeman, and Rory McIlroy. Maybe I'm biased, but I'm giving Steph Curry the ESPY for that performance.
Yeah, and I think that he will get the ESPY, and just looking at some of the other categories, I see that Simone Biles is nominated for Best Athlete in Women's Sports, along with Sydney McLaughlin-Leverone from Track and Field, Gabby Thomas, and Asia Wilson. I think that's a category where Simone Biles gets the W, and you know what Steph did, and maybe I'm just stuck on the iconic picture of Wemby closing out on Steph with his two arms akimbo, and it looks like there's no way Steph gets that ball over a stretched out Wemby, but he does, and it goes in, and just the golden dagger moment, which the game had already been decided, but and the dagger probably was already inserted into the French. But
and
that moment,
he also hit those subsequent daggers.
He hit them all.
As he hit four in a span of like a minute and a half.
And the fourth one, which Noah Eagle, Iron Son,
yeah,
called so eloquently the golden dagger. It was an unbelievable call. And because of that and how close it was and the fact that they had to dig out from beneath Serbia in the semis.
Yeah.
And then Steph did what he did, like you said, down the stretch against a very game French team. I think he wins that.
On French soil, too. Yeah,
right.
I mean, it was just like the perfect storm of craziness, and it was Steph who took over down the stretch. So that would be, for my money, the winner of the best championship performance. There's so many categories, but as far as I could tell, that's the only athlete on a current Bay Area team or a Bay Area team in general, because there's also like best team nominations, and there's no Bay Area teams nominated for that. But we'll see. We'll see what happens in the ESPYs today. Let's take one more call before we get on out of here. 888-957-9570. Gene is in Oakland. I think it's Gene's birthday, and he also wants to weigh in here. Gene, happy birthday. How you doing?
Hey, thank you very much. It is indeed my birthday. You have July 16th, 1946, the same day and year as our current mayor, Barbara Lee, as it turns out. Anyways, so I have a rule change I'd love to see implemented in the MLB. For every major league team that wants to maintain its franchise, the ballpark has to meet certain minimum standards, starting with a minimum capacity of 30,000 fans. All right? So you know what I'm getting at.
Yep.
You talked about Manfred. I mean, this whole deal of playing in a minor league park in the scorching heat in Sacramento and for, 3 years, is an absolute embarrassment to the league. It should never have happened to begin with, and it all happened under Manfred's watch, all right? So for all the good stuff he's done in terms of rule changes, more than offset by this travesty that he inflicted on the game. That's my 2 points.
All right.
Happy birthday, Gene.
Happy birthday, and I like it. I mean, yeah, when we talk about Rob Manfred, you can't get too far down the conversation, Dibs, without bringing up maybe not what he firsthand did, but what he at least allowed to happen with the Oakland A's. I mean, just a travesty.
Well, he allowed it to happen because his fellow owners, they were all about it, and they all get a piece of the new franchise fee and the rest of it, and I don't think what they all were incentivized by was not the good people of Oakland. They weren't looking out for Oakland at all, and they really allowed him to run that thing into the ground. Forget whether or not he should move or not move. A lot of these franchises move, and you're allowed to move. For me, the real atrocity is the way they allowed John Fisher to drive that franchise and drive the entire organization into the ground ahead of moving, and he basically kind of co-signed on the notion that, well, I can't make it work here in Oakland, so I have no choice but to leave. The fact that he co-signed that entire lie, that's the part to me that is so atrocious. If John Fisher would have run it like a real business and just come out and said, hey, you know what? I'm trying my level best here, and Howard Terminal's not working out, and the Coliseum's not the place, but you know what, darn it? I've tried. You've seen me try. I've invested in the team and all that. I want to go to Vegas. It still wouldn't feel good, but at least you could look at it and say, you know what? He tried, and this man did not try. He did the absolute opposite of trying, and Rob Manfred stood right next to him and allowed it to happen. That, to me, is the real atrocity.
Yeah, well said. I'm with you. Dib, do you know what we didn't get to today? I was excited about this conversation, but we kind of got tied up in MLB and rule changes and me daydreaming about how to save the NBA. We didn't have time for this. We can get into it tomorrow. There's like a question facing our Bay Area teams, each of them right now. Giants going to make another trade, whether for a pitcher or for a bat. Juwan Jennings asking for a trade or a new contract. And the Jonathan Kuminga saga. Well, what I wanted to get into, and we can do it tomorrow, is which of those three things happen first, which happens last, and maybe which never happens? Like, do we think any of those things might not ever happen, at least not this year? We can get into that come tomorrow, because those are three big decisions facing each and every one of those teams.
And they're all coming to a potential head rather soon with the baseball trade deadline in 15 days. And, you know, the NBA Summer League is ending in about 5 days, and I think teams want to kind of just chill after that. And, you know, you've got the Niners and Juwan Jennings. They're set to report in 6 days. Will he report? And if he does, will he have new money on that deal?
I think he'll probably report. He'll be a classic Holden, would be my guess. That's how I see it playing. But
just
report
and not actually be on the field.
I think so.
Yeah.
That's how I see it going. But we can get into that tomorrow. That's all the time we have today. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. It's Best of the Game, an hour of 95.7 The Game's best content from the day, hosted by Lucas Alexander. Luke, what's coming up next?
The crossover, and you teased it, I think it was last segment, but Guru yells about something.
Oh, yeah.
Tune in to find out what.
Well, yeah, Guru screams, which I guess isn't terribly unique. It happens a lot, but that's why we love Goo. Guru screams about something on the crossover, and you can make sure to keep listening, because you will then find out what he's screaming about. That's coming up next. Dibs, been a pleasure. I'll catch up with you again tomorrow, huh?
Yeah, can't wait. It'll be fun.
All right, let's do it. For Dibs, for Luke, for Ken, I'm Mark signing off. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk tomorrow right here on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.